If you would, turn to Exodus 17, 1 through 7. It says, "Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' So Moses said to them, 'Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?' And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, 'Why is it that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?' So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, and the people may drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Mehesh and Meribeth, which means tempting, temptation, and strife. But Rephidim means peace, a place of peace. But the people were tempting and being in strife. Because the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not? Basically, they were saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Father God, I just come before you today, and I just thank you for what you are doing in this last few weeks, and even over the course of our whole life, Father, as we follow you. And Father, I just thank you for the word today, Father, that as we read your word, we begin to understand it even more, Father. And it begins to bring revelation to each one of us, Father. So I pray over this word today, Father, that it will bring truth and revelation to each one of us, Father. It will make us change in maybe the way we listen, the way we obey you, Father. And Father, God, I just pray that your word goes forth and it will just do what it's called to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I don't know if the Israelites ever quit complaining. Do you know? They just continue to complain. And as we talked last week, that they were, you know, when they get to this rock, you know how many days out they are from escaping Egypt? Less than that. Like 11. So they go 3 days to the Red Sea, right? They're there, and then they cross the Red Sea. They go like 3 or 4 more days, and they go to a place called Marah, where the water is bitter, and God gives them water again. How does he give them water at Marah? Huh? Nope. That's a Horeb. So the water was bitter. They come to this place. It's a lake. They come to this place, and it's bitter. They can't even drink it. Nobody can drink it. So the Lord shows him, he goes before the Lord, and the Lord shows him what? Take a tree and lay it in the water, representation of the cross that makes things sweet. And so here they are, and they've got this pillar of cloud by day, and they got this fire by night that is with them all the time. And still, they're complaining. They leave Moriah, and they come to this place in Horeb. They're thirsty again. And what happens? They complain. They're in strifefulness. Continually complaining. Is God God or not? Is he with us or not? And the pillar of cloud and the fire by day and night is with them. But is the presence of God with them? And so they're struggling. They're struggling. Have you ever been there? Have you ever thought that the presence of God is not with you? Have you ever felt like, you know what, maybe he's here and maybe he's not? Why do I have to go through this stuff that I'm going through? I don't understand it. God, where are you? How many have prayed that prayer? God, where are you? And sometimes when I go through those moments, it's like, God, I trust you. I'm not in strife with you. I'm not being tempted. I'm not even tempting you, God. But where are you? Where are you in those moments? And I love where it says that then Moses would go before the Lord and he would find direction. He would find that place when all the people were up against him. You're talking a 3 to 4 or 5 million people complaining. Could you imagine the roar from the people? Place yourself in that place. Place yourself at the Red Sea. You know, place yourself at the place of Moriah where the water is bitter and it's made sweet. Place yourself there and the roar of the people. I'm thirsty. Could you imagine the nagging? Could you imagine the complaints? And Moses is by himself. He's got his brother. He don't have the elders yet. It's just him. And all the people are coming to him. Constantly, constantly complaining. Okay. That's all right. She said, okay. So where are we going to go from there? And here's the thing. Listen to this. They've crossed the Red Sea. They have seen the bitter waters made sweet by placing the tree in there. Then they are hungry. This is all in these 11 days. They are hungry. What's God do? He what? Okay, what else? And quail. Absolutely. So quail comes at night, comes into camp. They're complaining because they have no meat to eat. I believe their livestock is with them. I believe that the livestock went with them. There's things to eat. They didn't want to eat their livestock. But here they are, they're complaining. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. And God is providing this all the time. So he says, okay, I'll bring quail in at night. And I'll bring fresh bread in the morning, manna. And this is all just a short time from escaping Egypt. And so he meets their needs. And now here we are, a little further out, like 11 days, and they're thirsty again. How many have been touched by God and then always still thirst for more? Right? Do we complain, God, man, you showed up last time, last week. How come you're not showing up today? And then we complain, not knowing that he is our provider. Right? He provides everything for us as long as we abide in him. And I love the song Abide because we do need to abide in him, because if we don't abide in him, where's our trust? Where's our faith? Where do we stand if we don't abide in him? What do we stand on? We stand on the word. Do we read the word that we can abide in the word? Do we read the word that we can say, you know what, I know truthfully that God will provide for me. How do I know? Because he did it to the Israelites. He did it for his people. And much more is he going to do it for us, as we are in a better covenant. We are in the new covenant that Jesus came and died for us, shed his blood. And now we're in the new covenant. See, God had made provisions. He provided provisions for them, and they still are regretful that they left their bondage. Listen to that. They are still regretful that they left the place of bondage. Now, all those people that came out of Egypt had never tasted freedom. They have never tasted freedom. You're talking 430 years. They have never tasted freedom. So all they know is the Egyptians providing for them. All they know is they have to go out and work, and then they're provided food, however that was. They had food to eat every night. They sat around and ate every night. And now they escape Egypt. They escape the bondage. They escape the taskmaster. They're taking and leaving their identity behind them and walking out into a new place. So many times it's hard for us to walk out of our old identity. The place that we came out of, it's so hard for us to leave that behind. Because they always, and all the way through them 40 years, they always wanted to go back to Egypt. Can you imagine that? After seeing all the miraculous works of God, they always wanted to go back to Egypt because they could never get rid of the old identity. And see, here's us as we are new creations in Christ. What identity do you carry today? Do you carry still the same old nature that you used to have, or do you carry new nature? Do you carry the newness of God in you? And that's the problem, because you see so many people turn their lives over to Christ, and within 2 or 3 years, they go back to that old place of their identity, because that's what the Israelites wanted to do whenever they came out of Egypt, to go back. Even though it was a taskmaster they was just tasking them all the time and just basically destroying them. Hard labor. But they wanted to go back to their bondage. See, 400 years of bondage and being a slave has become their identity. The handouts from the Egyptians, they relied on. They relied on those handouts from the Egyptians. See, Israel came to a place called Rephidim, which means, I've already told you that, which means resting place. But the people are restless. They knew that the words that were spoken had a greater meaning than we do today. And so they knew when it said Rephidim, it meant peace. But they were not in peace. They were restless, a restless nation. They were a restless people. Are we restless? Are we in strife? Do we tempt the Lord our God? Do we tempt him in saying, are you really God? Are you really there? We come in and worship. We come in and praise. We go out the door and we live our life maybe in our old identity. We walk in these doors maybe with a new identity, but it's hard to get rid of the old identity, so we still have that lingering in us. So how do we become that new creation? All things have passed away, and all things become new. Is that what Jesus said? For all things have passed away, and all things will become new. When Jesus comes into your life, and the Holy Spirit comes in and resides within you, do you become new? Or do we want to go back to that old nature? Do we want to go back to the old identity? This is who I was. Because everybody remembers you as who you was, and not as you are now. When we get around those old people, we get around those old friends, do we act like we did in our old nature? And we should not. We should have that new character of Christ within us. You know, you don't have to spout off Bible verses, and you don't have to just quote the Bible to everyone you come across. You don't have to do that. You have to live your life like Christ would live it, and you walk out and you love people, and that's how you live your life. And then when the opportunity arises, you share the gospel, because the gospel is already in you. You don't have to quote the scripture to them, but you can quote the scripture through how you lived it out. New creation. Are you a new creation today? Holy Spirit living in you. You know, the Holy Spirit is the last one that was revealed in the Bible. Okay? And think about this. The power of God, the glory of God, all the stuff that you read in the Bible, all the stuff that you hear people preach on, and all the stuff and the glory that is in Christ, that was in them. And now the Holy Spirit is revealed. And the power and the glory, the fullness of the Godhead dwells within you. Do we act like it? Do we walk it out? See, here's the problem. The people's faith was in Egypt and not on God. Look at this in 17, 1, 2, 3. It says, then all the congregation of the children of Israel sent out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin according to the commandment of the Lord and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. Give us water. We want you to do it. We want you to give us water. They didn't even trust the Lord. They didn't even know what... Here's the thing. Even the Jewish people, they say over 60 to 70% of the Jewish people don't even believe they're atheist. They don't even believe in the God that they do all these traditions for. It says, give us water to drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted for their water. And the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Why? Why would you even bring us out? They didn't even get the fullness of what God was doing. They complain against God. Egypt's service serves us better. Egypt was serving them better, even though they had to work, even though they were tasked, even through the, and I don't know if not for sure how long the ten plagues were, but even through that moment of the 10 plagues, they were really, you know, go get your own mud, go get your own straw, build, and you got to build just as many blocks, bricks, with this, with what you have to go gather. See, the Egyptians would provide for them before. They would provide the mud. They would provide the straw. Now he says, go out and get your own straw. And if you don't, then I'm going to whip you. I'm going to do things to you that you won't like. They withheld food from him even at the end, but they still wanted to go back to Egypt. In 17:2 it says, therefore the people contended with Moses and to give us water. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? See, why do you want to go back to those places? When you want to go back to your own identity, you begin to tempt the Lord. You're basically saying, I don't even really believe in you. I believe in you when I need something from you, but I don't believe in you when I want to live my life just because everything's okay. You know, Moses, I don't know if it's the burning bush experience that really made Moses trust God, but he's seen something supernatural. He's seen something supernatural when he walked up to that bush that was burning but did not burn. That he heard a voice out of the fire calling him to go back to Egypt. And so Moses begins to listen to the voice of the Lord. And how many hear the voice of the Lord? How many are obedient to the voice of the Lord? How many question what the voice of the Lord tells you sometimes? It's like, really? Did you really say that, Lord? Nah, it's not what you want me to do, right? Moses obeys the voice of the Lord because every time he came into a situation, what did he do? Every time the people came to him, what did he do? He went before the face of the Lord. He went into the presence of the Lord. The pillar of cloud, the fire by night. He went into that place and met them. And the Lord would tell him what to do. And so in the first rock, how many know that there's two rocks? You know there's two rocks? There's two rocks that can bring forth water. So that is the title of the message. The two rocks, it's not always the same. So here's the second rock. This is a long time past the first rock. This is a long time. Listen to this. After they drank from out of the rock, after they drank out of the rock that Moses hit with the rock, because God told him to smite the rock and water would come forth. That's what he told him to do. He obeyed it. He took his staff. He says, take your rod, go to the rock, strike the rock, and water will come forth. And that's what he did. He did exactly what the Lord told him to do. Right after this moment, they get their fill of water, the Amalekites come in the scene. And they have to go to war. They have to go to battle. And Moses said, the Lord told Moses, you know, go here and fight, take care of them, fight them Amalekites. Right after this, I mean, boom, they're just outside of Egypt, just outside of the bondage, and they are beginning to have war. Moses and Hur and who else went up to the mountain? Joshua. And Moses holds his staff up, and the Israelites are down there fighting the Amalekites. As Moses gets tired, he drops his arms. What happens? The battle swings the other way. Moses raises his arms up. The battle begins to turn back towards people. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is what he was saying. The rod was lifted up. So Joshua and Hur picked it up his arms, sat him on a rock, and held his arms up with him. There's a message there that we need to have people around us to hold your arms up when you're in trouble. You have people around you to hold your arms up when you're dealing with situations. You need to have people hold you up when you're dealing with things and contrite things in your life. You need to have people hold you up when you are tempted by the enemy. You need people around you to have God's banner over you. You need to raise your hands up. This is raising your hands up. His banner over me is love. His banner over me. He has marked me. and I give him glory for it. His banner over me is love. And so here we are. There's a lot of stuff happening just as they come out of Egypt. And now this is about almost 40 years later. This is at the end. They've already had the law. They've already been taught the law. They've already built the tabernacle. They've seen all this stuff. They've seen all the glory of the Lord. They've seen the provision that their shoes have never ran out. Their clothes have never worn out. They've seen the food and the manna come every morning. They see the quail come in. They've seen the provisions of God. And here we are again. Numbers 20. 2-11. Now there was no water for the congregation. So they gathered together against Moses and Aaron, and the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, "If only we had died when our brothers died before the Lord." Where was that at? Mount Sinai. When he swallowed them up. Had died when we saw them. Why have you brought us... Now I gotta figure out where I'm at. All right. Died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It's not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meetings. Where do they go? To the presence of God. Where do you go when you deal with something? Where do you go? And so they went to the door of the tabernacle of meetings and fell on their face. What did they do? They fell on their face. Why did they fall on their face? Worship. It's like, I don't know what to do, Lord, but I'm here for you. I'm here to, I surrender you, Lord. Give me, show me what I'm supposed to do. They fall down and worship him. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield water." What did he tell them to do? But he said, take the rod, just like he did the first time. Take the rod. But he told him to smite the rock the first time. But this time he changed it. So let's go on. He says, "Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals." So Moses took the rod before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels." I don't know if that's the way the Lord wanted him to speak to the people. He was angry. "Hear now, you rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with the rod, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Now here's one thing that probably we have problems with. Moses had a problem with it. He had a problem with people. Even though he was leading people, it was tough on Moses. As these people nag, complaining, come constantly on him. See, you got to remember, this group of people never wanted to hear the Lord speak to him. This group of people never wanted to hear God's voice. They said, "You, Moses, you go and get the information from God, and then you bring it back and tell us." See, Jesus opened the veil. He opened the veil that we can come before God, because, see, that was all shut off. But now Jesus opened the veil that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, and we can fall on our face like Moses did, and we can hear the voice of the Lord speaking to us to give us direction. But here's the thing. Moses got into the place that he knew the rod, because he's done it before. He knew the rod would do, because it was the power of God. So he's already struck the rock one time 30-some years ago, almost 40 years ago. He struck the rock, and water came forth. God did not tell him to strike the rock, but God honored the power God honored him even though he was a disobedient. Think about that. God honored him even though he was disobedient because he knew he went back to do what he knew would work. He was so angry with the people. How many get angry and say things they should not say? Because why? You want to demonstrate that you are mad. You want to demonstrate to that person that you are really, really ticked off. And so you say things that you really don't mean, but you want to get their attention so they know that you are really mad. Right? Same with Moses. Even though God told him to speak to the rock, he said, I'm going to show these people, these rebels. I'm going to show them. I'm going to smack it twice. And you know he grabbed a hold of that rod. You know he grabbed a hold of that rod. He just didn't go. Ch-ch-ch. He smacked that rod. And he smacked it again. I mean, he put everything into it. And the rock blessed open with water. God honored his disobedience. It's amazing that God still honored his disobedience. So amazing that don't be disobedient, okay? Don't be disobedient. But I know you will be. We're human. And we're striving to be obedient to our Lord and Savior. And we're striving to be that way. And I know that we all fail. We're all failures. But by the grace of God, by the Son Jesus Christ, that his blood is shed for us, that we have grace. But just because we have grace doesn't mean we keep on sinning. We keep on doing those old natured things. We have grace because he saved us. We have grace when we come into the kingdom. We have grace because all the stuff that we did in our past, that Christ died for us to save us and get rid of that old nature. Why live in the old nature? So you got to think, will the people ever trust God? Will the Jewish people ever trust God? 40 years. People are dying. People are dying in the wilderness because what did they say? They've already tried to enter the promised land. It was only an 11-day journey from Egypt to go to the promised land. They have already been to the promised land, and 12 spies went in, and 12 spies came back out, and two of them said it was good. The rest of them said it wasn't. And so then, you know what? Where did they go? They went back into the wilderness. Why? Because they didn't trust God. They did not trust him. Will we trust God? Will we really trust God? Will we really trust him when the doctor says a bad report? Will we really trust him? And I wonder what Moses thought when he struck the rock. You ever put yourself in that place where the congregation is all around? Because he had to bring the assembly around. And he knew the Lord said, speak to the rock. He knew it. I mean, he knew it in his spirit. Because he's been listening to the Lord's God's voice all these 40 years. He's been listening to him. He's been acting out what God showed him to do every moment. And he knew the Lord said, speak to the rock. And when he grabbed that, you know he was so angry when he grabbed that rod. I know, God, I know. You said speak, but I'm going to show these people. I'm going to show these rebels. I'm going to show them. You ever been there? I don't even know. I mean, really, honestly, Moses didn't know from his disobedience he would never enter the promised land. He didn't know that. He didn't know because he smote the rock that he would never enter the promised land. He didn't know that. Because God's grace has been upon him. God has pulled him through. He never knew that. You think that was a shock to him when God said he couldn't enter? Deuteronomy 3. If I can get to it. Where is it at? I got to find it. I think it is 23. Yeah. Verse 22, you must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. Then he says, then I pleaded with the Lord all that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account. So he's recounting this and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. He said, go up to the top of Pisgah and lift up your eyes toward the west and the north and the south and the east. Behold, it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over the Jordan. But he commanded Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he will cause them to inherit the land which you will see. Me and Tabitha has been up on that mountain, and when you get up there, you can look across and you can see all. You can see the Red Sea. You can see it says that we could not see because I don't know if there's in his day there's clarity in the land. There's some smog and there's some things going on. But we could not see, but he could see into the Mediterranean Sea. He could see Jerusalem. He could see it all. But he was never going to be able to go into that place. And then, listen to this. You go to Deuteronomy 4. So the Lord, God just told him he can't enter the kingdom. He can't enter the promised land. And what's he do to the people right then? Verse 4, or chapter 4, he says, now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God your fathers has given you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did in Baal-Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among all the men who follow Baal-Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God, you are alive today and everyone to you. Surely I have taught your statutes and judgments just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them. Basically what he's telling them, he's saying, he went straight to obedience. I want you to be obedient to the Lord. Okay? He said, Lord, my God, commandments which you should act according to them in the land which you go and possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all the statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what a great nation there is. And so basically what he goes straightly to obedience. He wants them to be obedient because he just realized he is not entering the kingdom because of his disobedience. He's not going to enter in. Here we are today. Are we obedient to the Lord? Do we, when the Lord has told us to do many things, and I know Sonny's been in the ministry a long time, and I know that the Lord has told him that this, he'd do these things, and he's told me to do these things, and it becomes natural that we do the same thing. So when we this problem or something occurs, we can act out on what God told us to do last time. But you know what? Moses went before the Lord each and every situation. Each and every, whatever arose, he went before the Lord each time. And the Lord told him differently. Are we really listening to the different things the Lord tells us? As we close, and I'm going to read one more in Deuteronomy 30. I'm going to read in just a minute, but just as we close, God does not always use the same method for the same result. You had two rocks, and water came out of both of them. God told him two different methods, but he used the one. The first time he struck the rock, he struck it once. He comes to the second rock and strikes it twice. Why? Anger. Are we supposed to have anger in our hearts? We're not supposed to carry the anger. We need to be obedient to the voice of the Lord, for his directions are not ours. We need to be obedient to him. Whenever the music team or whoever gets up here to preach, they need to not lean on their own understanding, but lean on God's understanding, because what does God want to do? That he might change something in the middle of it. If we don't go before the face of the Lord for every moment and every situation, how are we going to know what he wants to do today? We don't. Moses could have not even went to the presence of the Lord. He could have not even fell down at the face of the Lord when they needed water. All he had to do was walk up to a rock and say, boom, and the rock would have gave forth water. It's the power of God that moved through him, because he knew it worked. He could have gave water at any time. He could have came to a stream that was bitter. He could have cut a tree down, and he would have put the tree in the water, and it would have been sweet. Because that's what God did. And God honored his word. But God told him to do something else, because why? He wanted to change. He wanted the Israelites to see the spoken word of God. He wanted them to see, to know that you don't have to strive for anything, but if you speak to it, it will happen. He wanted them to see a different scenario. And here's another thing as we close. We need to get out of our old life and begin to live out the new life he has established for us. His provisions, not your provisions. We need to change our identity. Listen to this in chapter 30 of Deuteronomy. Verse 11. And this is for each one of us as we close today. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you. It's not a mystery to you. Okay? He's saying it's not a mystery to you. Nor is it far off. You understand this. This is simple. This is going to be simple. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us? He's basically saying, hey, come on. Come on, guys. It's easy. Who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? That means you can hear the voice of the Lord. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today, love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go possess. But, here's a big thing, but, and this is in our life too, but if your hearts turn away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, but if you, this is for us as well, not just for those back in the early BC, it's just not for them. This word is for us today. But if you harden your heart, but if you turn from me, but if you go worship something else, but if you, but if your hearts turn away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. Listen to that. You shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, abide in him. That you may abide in him, cling to him. What does cling mean? What does that mean to you? Grab a hold on. If you were falling off a mountain and somebody was there holding at the top of the mountain, had his hand out, and you were holding his hand, would you cling to it? Would you hold on as long as you could? You know how hard that is? Anybody climb a rope back when you were younger? The strength that it takes to hold on. The person that is hanging over the edge is going to hold on a lot stronger than the person that's on top of the mountain. But here's the thing. God is on top of the mountain, and he will not let you go. And he's going to hold on to you longer than you can hold on, but he's going to grab your wrist, and he's going to pull you up if you allow him to. If you abide in him, if you abide in him, if you cling to him. I'm going to go back to verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Here's the thing. It's your choice. It's absolutely your choice. What are you going to do with it? Do you choose to obey him? Do you choose to listen to him? Do you choose to worship other gods? If you are a new creation, why live in the old nature? Why go back to that place? The Bible tells us that it is worse for the ones that know. It is so worse for the ones that know, that have been in a relationship with God and that have fallen away, is because when they come and stand before God, they're going to stand there and know, oh God, I missed it. Because I was chasing after other things in the world. I was chasing after the worldly lusts and desires. I was chasing after my own heart and not your heart. See, he says that he puts a new heart in us. Right? He takes out the heart of stone and he places a heart of flesh inside of us. A heart that loves, a heart that has compassion. But it is his heart in us. He places that in you, that each one that has been born again, that has the Holy Spirit in them, has the power and authority and the might of God within them and the glory of God. Each one of us carry the glory. Do we really shine the glory of God? How are we when we're in the line waiting for, you go to Kroger's and it's a madhouse and you're in line waiting for whoever, the 25 people that's in line in front of you, you're like, oh. And this person's got two baskets full. They're writing a check. So then you switch to another line. Might not be open. Then you switch to another line that you got to do all the work. But here's what I'm saying. Where does the old nature reveal the glory of God? Can the old nature reveal the glory of God? If we are a new creation, we have a new identity. See, we want to go back to Egypt too often. We want to go back to that old identity too often. That's who I was. That's who I was. But God says, I've created you to be new. I've created you a new creature. A new creation is in you. The one that didn't have love and compassion now has love and compassion. The one that hated his enemy now loves his enemy. That's me creating that in you. Do we reveal it? We need not go back to Egypt. We need not go back to the old identities, but we got to stand firm in our new creation and who we are. If you get anything out of this today, do not go back to your old nature. Don't go back to your old identity. If you're a fresh believer in Christ, the enemy is going to come back up against you. I guarantee that he is going to come up and try to steal you away from the kingdom. I can guarantee it. I guarantee it. He will try to steal you away. But what I do know is my God is greater. My God is greater. And when you need those people to hold your hands up, when you need those people around you, when the enemy attacks you, grab a hold of those people. Take them up to the mountain with you and allow the banner of God to reveal over you. That is the purpose of the community of Christ. That is the purpose of each one of you. Granted, we're going to hurt each other. We're going to say things that we probably don't want to say to each other. We're human. We're going to make mistakes. But here's one thing I do know. As we were going through the bait of Satan, don't cause that offense. If someone offends you, don't take that offense upon yourself. You know what? Forgive them. Move on past that. Have a problem with them? It says go to them. Ask them. Talk to them about it. They don't even know they offended you. See, the old nature, the old person, the old identity, you know what? I ain't never talking to them again. Right? You're gonna have that attitude like, I ain't going to see them no more. I can't believe they said that about me. Wes, I can't believe you talked about me, man. I can't believe it. That's what would be going through my mind. It's true. See, so in your mind, you begin to think those things. And what happens to the enemy? What's he do? He begins to grow. He begins to grow. And then when you come up against someone else, you have all that hatred and anger against Wes. Now someone else, and Keith has been doing it. Now I'm going to take it out on Keith. I'm going to take it out on David. And then my heart is going to be transformed into a heart of stone like it used to be. Don't go back to the old nature. I know it's so hard when people offend you. I know it's hard. I know it is. I've been there, and I know. But I know I'm a new creation. And I know I have to be a different person. I know I have to be. Moses, no, he knew he was supposed to speak to the rock, and he chose not to. You know to choose right from wrong. You know to choose life or death. You know that. It's your choice to choose death or life. It's your choice to choose hate and anger. It's your choice to take on the offense. It's your choice, not the person that gave the offense. It's your choice that you took it on. You can always say, I ain't taking that. Lord, no, forgive them, God. I know that they didn't mean that, and I don't care because I love them anyway. And I'll address that with them eventually. But, Lord, I am not going to take that offense on. I am not going to listen to them words, those negative words. I am not going to do it. I am not going to let the enemy get root in my heart to destroy me from the inside out. Because that's what the enemy, he's a parasite. We've been talking about parasites lately in the house and been just talking about different things. And what does a parasite do? You don't even know he's there. You know every one of you have a parasite in you? Every one of us. And you, what's it doing? It's eating you from the inside out. That's what it's doing. Don't let those parasites eat you. Don't let that parasite of the enemy come in and just destroy you, because he will destroy you. It might not be next week. It might not be a month from now. It might not be a year from now. But I guarantee, as long as you keep on the offense, as long as you allow that offense to take over you, you're going to be offended more and more and more, and all of a sudden you're going to be destroyed, and you're going to walk away from the church. You'll walk away from God. You'll walk away from Christ. You'll walk away from your salvation because you allowed someone to offend you. You allowed someone to tear you down, and you never let it go. And then your old nature just begins to well back up in you. You begin to hang out with people that you used to hang out with because they never offended you. They loved you. They partied with you. They knew you was in that place. And they were okay with that. They didn't care. They know, oh, I was just drunk. I just said that because I was drunk. Never mind. And you don't care. Because they meet you the next day and have a drink with you again. And it's okay. Don't take on that identity. Don't go back to that old nature. So I leave you with this. Choose life. Choose life and not death. Choose the right choices. Choose to obey the voice of the Lord. That every time you have a problem, every time you have a situation, every time you deal with something, go and fall on your face before God, in the presence of God, and say, God, here I am. I don't know what to do, but Lord, show me the way. Show me the way. I know it might not be the same way you did it last time, but I know I'm going to listen to you and do it the way you tell me to do it this time. I got to be here for you, God, and you direct me and direct my path. He says that he will guide my feet wherever I walk. He will guide my feet. I can take the ground wherever I go as long as you follow him, as long as you're with him. Father God, I just come before you today, and I thank you, Father. Just stand up and just stretch your legs just a minute. Father God, I thank you, God, today for your goodness and your glory, Father, that you radiate in this place, Father. Father, I thank you for the new creations in this place, Father. And Father, I pray that if there are ones that are dealing with offenses in their life and offenses in their hearts, Father, that have been trying just to, they just begin to think about them constantly. It's on their minds. It's on their minds when they go to sleep. It's on their minds when they wake up in the morning. These offenses that the enemy has placed on their hearts, Father, I pray right now they lay them down at the cross. They lay them down today, Father, that they forgive that person. Father, they forgive that person today, Father, that they are completely restored. But Father, not only do they forgive them, they can always go and talk to them. Say, man, I was offended. And I don't take it against you, but I was offended. And I know the enemy was placing that in my heart. And so, Lord, I pray for complete healing in this place, complete restoration. But Father, not only that, Father, I pray over our identities, Father, that we have left the old nature. We have left Egypt. We are not in bondage anymore, God. We are not in that bondage of Egyptian bondage anymore. You have set us free. Father, you walked them through the Red Sea. We've been baptized in the name of Jesus. We have been set free because the blood of Christ has set us free. His body beaten and broken. His blood shed on the cross. Father, he was laid out, I know. And he opened the veil that we could have a conversation with you. That there is no restrictions between you and I. Father, give us the peace in our heart. The joy in our spirit to take on this new creation, this new nature, and exploit it to the earth. Exploit this new nature to the kingdom of God. As we grow the kingdom, as we share the good news of the gospel, as we share the good news of what has happened to us, that the old man has died and the new man has come, a new creation in you. And so, Father, today as we pray, as we pray over this place, Father, I pray over each and every one in this house. As they leave here today, Father, that your joy and love will be in them. But not only that, Father, I pray that as these words have been spoken and as your word in the Old Testament that has been spoken and read, Father, that it will literally just integrate into their life of choosing life. That in those moments, of hurt and in those moments of pain, that they choose life. They choose good. They choose love. Father, bless them today as they leave. Bless them mightily, Lord. Bring these things to remembrance, Lord, as they deal with situations in their life. Bring these things into remembrance, Lord, to be able to choose rightly. Lord, as we hear your voice, let us be obedient to it, Lord. Let us not go back in the same way we used to do it, because that's what you told us last time. But you told us something new this time, Lord. Let us be obedient in that and walk those things out, Father, just as you have said, word for word. Let our actions be unto your words. Let us have life and love and liberty in you. In Jesus' mighty name.